I'm Daniel Hummer, and here we are doing the show that gets us absolutely zero ass, Unscripted Unlimited, and we are here to talk about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I thought we were doing a retrospective on the Backstreet Boys, because they're going back on tour this weekend.
I mean, that would get us ass.
Oh, wow.
What do we want?
Yeah. I mean, well, when you think Ninja Turtles, you think Backstreet Boys, or actually I kind of do, because I remember back when the Ninja Turtles had that Next Mutation show, that shitty live-action show, they actually got preempted 1 week. One, because the show was awful, but two, because they decided to run, because Backstreet Boys were really starting to get hot.
Eric's here today.
Yep. So, but they... like, they started to really get hot, so they gave the Backstreet Boys, like, a special in the time slot that the Turtles were supposed to have. I mean, the show sucked anyway.
Doug's here today. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you.
We got a lot to get into today. We're going to be talking about the history of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, we are. I've been waiting to do this show for a few weeks.
The movies, the toys... the shows, the video games.
Comics.
Yeah. That's where they started, in Mirage.
Yep. Now they're in IDW.
But before we get into all that, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
All right. Make sure you listen to Boxman and Smark, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night, mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Use around 10:15, 10:20 is Eastern Time, right after AEW is over with. And then you can catch them tonight, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, for the Hollywood Hangout, mixer.com/Hollywood Hangout. Usually, if Smark is unavailable, then Boxman will call Eric to co-host. But... Since they got the Smarks drinking under control, I guess, you know, Eric really hasn't been needed. So make sure you listen to them. I'm pretty sure, you know, they are good. Well, Box is good people. Make sure you listen to us, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday nights, for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. And this upcoming Friday night, we're going to be covering the April 14th, 1997 edition of WCW Monday Nitro. The main event of that show was Kevin Nash and Lex Luger. We also had Public Enemy and High Voltage in a Philadelphia street fight. Main event anywhere in the country. I know afterwards it was actually a main event on an episode of WCW Worldwide. And then, of course, April 22nd, we're going to be covering the feud, or we're doing a feud retrospective on John Cena and Edge.
Yes.
That'll be exciting. Of course, listen to us Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, if we're not napping, for Unscripted Unlimited. Whose turn is it to pick after this one? Who was the
Daniel.
Last one? It's Daniel's turn? What would you like to do next Saturday?
Justice League Throne of Atlantis, the animated movie.
All right, very good. That ought to be nice. Eric, you better actually Google it this time. Or try to watch it.
Okay. I will.
Don't watch the Triple X version of it either. I mean, well, I mean.
What else do we got?
Okay. Listen to the newly renamed Stabcast tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern Time with Daniel and Mindy. You guys are doing, what's the name of the Netflix?
No One Gets Out Alive.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which, I mean, that's almost a spoiler in the title itself. it usually actually... sounds like most of the dates of this girl I used to know in high school. lovely girl. All right, and then, of course, check out our buddy Sean on Twitch, or no, on YouTube with Elite Diplodoc. Is he still doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. He is a soon-to-be papa.
Yeah.
So those streams might become few and far between. But make sure you check him out. And that's it.
All right. Let's get into it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Raphael, Michelangelo, Donatello, and Leonardo, the leader.
Yeah.
With Master Splinter. These guys started in Mirage Comics in 1984. Feels like they started earlier than that, though.
No, it was 1963, Kevin Eastman, right? And what, Eric?
I was watching a video earlier, and it said something about 1963 or something.
No. 1984, that was the debut.
Yeah, Kevin Eastman, Peter Laird, the guys that created the Ninja Turtles. I was never really much into the comics. I mean, I'm into them now.
Yeah.
Like, I read them now.
They're good reads.
Yeah. See, my first exposure to them, obviously, was the original cartoon.
Yeah.
It came out in 87. I was, like, a year old. So, so, like, that was the only other thing I was obsessed with watching besides wrestling.
Yeah. That was your shit.
Yeah. And, you know, had a lot of the toys, too. I remember, actually, I didn't see the first movie in theaters, the one that came out in 1990, because I was only, like, three. But, like, we had it, or no, Nana and Papa had it on, they bought the video for me and kept it at their house, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So I remember watching it there. The second movie I remember I saw in the theaters, which actually is my favorite movie of the trilogy. But, yeah, I had all three original movies on VHS.
That's badass.
Yeah. And the first two were really good movies. The third one... it's one of those movies, you know, we talk about how sometimes you really, like, if there's no need for a third movie, don't make it.
Yeah.
And I really don't think there was a need for a third movie because they already did away with the Shredder character. I mean, it was a cool concept, them traveling back in time. And I really think a lot of the reason why they did that is because they needed something to market for toys.
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of get it, but it's also, like, you guys are idiots for thinking that, like, this is going to work. But, no, the original cartoon, obviously, which I grew up on, which I have the entire series on a DVD set.
You got the box set?
Yeah. It came in the Shellraiser van. It is upstairs in my room. You know, and you had, obviously, it was the Turtles, obviously, and Splinter. April O'Neil was their companion. She kind of, she was like the damsel in distress. And you had, obviously, you know, April's crew, In the news crew, Verma, who was April's friend. She was like a secretary or something. Vernon, who was the cameraman, who, like, very whiny. The cartoon character was very whiny, and he was actually played by Will Arnett in the reboot movies.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had the boss. I can't remember his name, but I think it also started with a V, or his last name started with a V. You had those side characters. Obviously, you had Shredder and Krang, the bad guys, along with Bebop and Rocksteady, two of the dumbest fucking villains.
Bebop and Rocksteady?
Yeah. Well, they were idiots. But, you know, they were a good foil for the Turtles because, like, a lot of battles, especially watching them as a kid, they were badass battles.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had the Foot Soldiers who, in the cartoon, were robots.
Yeah.
But in the movies, you know, in the first two when they were actually needed, they were ninjas. They were ninjas.
Yeah.
They practiced the martial arts. They were actually, in the original movie, they were a street gang that were committing robberies.
Yeah.
All right. Like in the opening move, in the opening minutes of the movie, like you have a guy that's watching a TV, or you know, watching his TV outside on his porch of his apartment, he, you know, walks away for a minute to go get something to eat or something to drink, and then you see one of the Foot Soldiers come in and steal a fucking TV.
Yeah.
So, but there was some distinction between the movies and the TV show.
Yeah.
Like, some differences. Like, in the original movies, Bebop and Rocksteady were not a thing. Now, in the second movie, they introduced Toka and Rezar, the wolf and the snapping turtle.
Yeah.
Who were, again, they were used to beat up the turtle, and they overpowered him or whatever. I mean, Bebop and Rocksteady would come in the reboot movies. In the second one, Out of the Shadows, Bebop was actually played by Gary Anthony Williams from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Fuck yeah.
And Rocksteady was played by this guy, and, you know, kind of a well-known WWE wrestler named Sheamus.
Really?
Yeah.
He was in the Turtles movie?
Yeah. And... you know, they were, it was a good, I didn't know, like, how they would actually do it. See, personally, I liked the movie.
What, Out of the Shadows?
Yeah. The only part I didn't like it, the only part I really didn't like was the fact that, like, well, one, the turtles looked like, you know, bodybuilders. They looked like, you know, they were on steroids. And, So like they were just really weird looking, and like the whole, you know, Leonardo taking the leadership role like way too seriously and letting the power kind of go to his head.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of bothered me.
And weren't they like aliens in this one?
In the second movie, the turtles weren't. The turtles weren't aliens. But obviously, Crane has always been from a different planet.
I thought they, like, made them something that was, like, not turtles in the movie.
No, they were not, they're not aliens. But, like, you know, getting back to the original cartoon, so many characters have been introduced. Also throughout, like, you know, so many secondary characters, like Casey Jones, the vigilante hockey player.
Yes. Gotta love Casey Jones.
Yeah.
He's played by Arrow in the movie, right?
In the original, or not in the original, in the remake, yeah, he's played by Stephen Amell.
Yeah.
Stephen Amell want, his true dream job is to be a cop.
Yeah.
There's a one part in the movie where April, who's played by Megan Fox in the movie, Will Arnett's character Vernon, and Casey Jones, Casey Jones has a history with Bebop and Rocksteady because he was actually the one transporting them as criminals before they became, you know, Bebop and Rocksteady, before they became the animals,
yeah,
the Warthog and the Rhino. And there's a scene in the movie where, like, they're destroying cars in a parking garage. And Donnell's just like, all right, I'll take care of these two guys. You go open up the portal or whatever that Donnie wants you to open up. And Vernon, Will Arnett's character, is just like, I don't know about that. Like, how come you just get to stay down here? And Casey goes, do you want to switch? And Bebop and Rocksteady are destroying cars. And Vernon goes, you know what? I think we're going to go up and we're going to open up the portal or close the portal or whatever. And it's just, but it's just the way Casey was just like, you want to switch? Like, these two guys, these are two badass motherfuckers. Like, if you think you can beat them up, be my guest.
Yeah.
So
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
What was your favorite movie?
The original second.
You watch all five?
Yeah. Actually, there's six movies because they did a computer animation in 2007 just called TMNT, which was because they were trying to bring back the franchise.
Yeah.
And I so desperately wanted to see it in theaters. But, like, when we were going to go see it, my darling baby brother didn't want to see it, so we ended up seeing some shitty Ice Cube movie.
Are we there yet?
Are we done yet?
That's a great movie.
It is.
Yeah, everybody likes Ice Cube. But I really wanted to see it in theaters, obviously didn't get to, and then, like, when I watched it and it came out, when I came out on a DVD, it was a good movie, but it was just also like, it wasn't going to reboot the franchise.
Yeah.
Which the franchise was already like, I mean, technically the franchise was still going cause you still had the reboot cartoon going. In 2003, they brought a different version of the cartoon back because CBS had bought the rights to it. It's actually on Paramount Plus now. It's called, obviously Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then later on, like, shut up, I'm talking. The 2008, I think they changed it to TMNT Fast Forward where they went like 100 years in the future.
Yeah.
And so, like, they were still, like, in the middle of that. Like, it was still a thing. So, but, like, they were trying to reboot the franchise as far as, like, the movies go. But to answer your question, Eric, my favorite movie was the second one that came out in 1991.
Secret of the Ooze?
Secret of the Ooze. That's my all-time favorite Ninja Turtles movie because... They have some really good lines. Michelangelo is just, obviously because he's the dumber turtle.
Yeah.
You know, he's the funny one. He's the more laid back one. He's the one that's obsessed with pizza. Which is really, there's nothing wrong with being obsessed with pizza.
No, we are.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with it.
I am.
You're saying there's something wrong with being obsessed with pizza?
I
like pizza.
Yeah. You just don't like making pizza. The second movie, because, like, you had, obviously, you know, they went into the details of, like, the origin of the ooze that, you know, made the turtles into, you know, overgrown. You know, they took them from, like, just little pet turtles to, you know, teenagers, turns, and, you know, all that. So that kind of explained their origin a little bit. And you had Professor Jordan Perry, who's a scientist who worked for the company that, you know, dropped the ooze down the sewer. And then, of course, you know, the introduction of Toka and Rezar, who it was funny, like when they did the whole construction scene, or the scene at the construction site where the turtles were trying to give, come up with an, or trying to feed Toka and Rezar an antidote where, to shrink them back down to size.
Right.
Michelangelo came up with the idea. He's like, well, we'll make them in the cube because the professor said they have to inject this.
Yeah.
So they made them like in a little tiny cubes, and Michelangelo decided, first time Michelangelo's ever come up with an idea, like even in the cartoons and all that stuff. They're like, what if we'll put them in donuts? And everybody's just like, this isn't going to work. Like Raphael's like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
And like they did the thing, they fed them the donuts, but then Rezar actually crushed the donut, saw the cube, and then, spun Michelangelo around. And the construction site was actually like the location of an underground nightclub.
Yeah.
So like, but before they got into the nightclub, Leonardo looks at Raphael and says, you take the ugly one. Raphael goes, no, you take the ugly one. Now, both Token and Rezar are actually pretty ugly. And Donatello goes, I'll take the ugly one. And Michelangelo, still kind of dizzy from getting spun around, goes, which one's the ugly one? And then Michelangelo gets thrown into the nightclub where Vanilla Ice is performing.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then they do the ninja rap, which is kind of cool. There's a lot of iconic moments in that movie and a lot of, like, iconic lines.
Go, ninja, go, ninja, go.
Yeah. And, when they do the ninja rap, which I always thought was pretty cool, I always thought was pretty catchy. And then, of course, they had their little sidekick with them, Kino, who was a pizza delivery boy, but he had martial arts training. Obviously, April O'Neil, the newswoman, she was in there. She was actually played by a different actress than in the first movie. Paige Turco, who reprised the role in the third movie, and she was just a complete bitch in that third movie.
Was she?
Yeah, she was god-awful. Like, because her real role is to be like a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
But that's one damsel that you would not mind seeing her fucking head be cut off by a Japanese sword in that third movie. Like, it was just like, all right, I remember actually watching it as a, not necessarily as like an adult, but as like a teenager, because somebody bought me the movie on VHS for my 17th birthday.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it, and like that, I turned on April in that movie, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, just fucking chop her head off. Like, there's gonna be no more movies after this. You should have just fucking killed her off right there. But like, again, she was very vital to the story because she was kind of the turtles' like inside track to stuff that was going on, especially in the cartoons.
Yeah.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, obviously, the reboot, when Nickelodeon bought the franchise in 2012, and they started re-airing it, computer animated, obviously, because that's what, most cartoons have turned into. And I remember I was a huge fan of it. Like, I watched the first couple of seasons, but like season three is really when I kind of stopped watching it. Because once Seth Green took over as Leonardo,
it got really good.
No, it got, that's when you really started to tell that the power was going to Leonardo's head as the leader. And it's just like, there would be episodes where I would just wait for Raphael to just punch him in the fucking face.
Really?
Yeah.
Would he?
No, he he didn't, obviously, because, you know, they didn't really want to have the dissension between the brothers. But it's just like Leonardo is just one of those characters. I mean, he's my, you know, for the longest time, my least favorite turtle was Donatello.
The nerdy one?
Yeah, because, like, you know, he wasn't really into science or any of that bullshit. But, like, you know, watching, like, the later stuff, including the later movies and the later, and the later cartoon series,
how you doing?
Like Leonardo just became, it basically became like Leonardo was almost like became my, Leonardo basically became my least favorite because it's just like, he knows he's the leader, but it's, and we all know he's the leader, but the fact that he has to flaunt it and it's almost like he's taunting Raphael.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, you're not even that good. So what? You have swords. Good for you.
Raphael's the best.
He is. And like, I kind of like his sarcastic attitude.
Yeah. Him and Leonardo are always talking shit to each other, not getting along.
Oh, yeah, because Leonardo would tell Raphael something. Raphael would look at him and be like, fuck you. Like, in the second movie, in Secret of the Ooze, they're going down. They have to look for a new place to live. And Raphael looks at him and goes, all right, this is stupid. Like, the foot's up there with the ooze, and we're down here playing Century 21. You know, because they're trying to find a new place to live.
Yeah.
And Leonardo looks at him and says, Raph, come on. And he goes, come on, Leo, even you could think of something better than this. And Leo goes, I already have. Let's go. He goes, I'm going up. And Leo grabs him and says, no, you're not. And he goes, let go of my arm, Leo. And then Raphael, you know, goes up and gets his, you know, and he tries to infiltrate the foot headquarters using that kid Kino, the pizza delivery boy.
Yeah.
And then there's another iconic scene where, like, they find a new place to live, which is actually used to be like an underground, used to be like an underground train station. So it's basically, it's like a sewer, but, you know, with a train inside.
Right.
So, they start moving into there and Donatello calls April at the news station and says, hey, have you seen Raphael? And Leonardo gets on the phone and goes, well, tell her if she sees him, tell her I said, thanks for wasting our time. Because instead of going out and looking for the foot and the ooze like we should.
Way too close.
Yeah, well, I have to make sure you're away. You know, we have to go up. We have to go up, and we have to look for him instead. And then he throws down his heavy box, and it lands right on Donatello's foot. April's like, "What happened?" And Donatello in pain goes, "Leo says hi." But like, yeah, no, they were always going. They didn't really go at it so much in the original cartoon. Like in the original cartoon, they all got along.
Yeah.
But like in the movies and then, you know, in the later cartoon and the later movies, even in the movie in 2007, you know, Leonardo and Raphael especially, like they could not get along.
Yeah.
They were just like I wouldn't say they hated one another, but it was like Leonardo, you know, again, obsessed with kind of being the leader of the team, and Raphael just like, dude, you're not even that special. Fuck you. It's like, you know, but like, I mean, there's so many comparisons you can make to it. I just can't think of one off the top of my head. But Yeah, no, and then, again, going back to the original cartoon where, like, all these other secondary characters were announced, including, like, secondary villains, like the Rat King, Baxter Stockman, the mad scientist.
Right.
Who got turned into a fly.
Yeah, which was supposed to happen to Tyler Perry's character, right? But they never made a third movie.
They never made a third movie. Well, because, again, a lot of the hardcore Ninja Turtle fans, you know, the five other people besides me, the real diehard, like, fan of the comic books, fan of the original cartoon, original movies, they hated those two movies.
Yeah. The second one didn't make that much money either.
Exactly. So that's why, like, they kind of just abandoned it, and they're like, all right, we're just going to continue to make the money off the cartoon. I mean, the toys are still, like, the NECA, Nickelodeon toys that they have coming out that, you know, we see every time we go to the comic shop.
Yeah.
Those are still making a lot of money. And they're making a lot of money because people are actually charged a lot of money for them.
Didn't we sell one on eBay?
We didn't sell the newer toy. We sold the...
Crack.
We didn't sell crack.
That's good.
We sold one of the, like, original toys. I think it was from 89.
Yeah, I think it was 89.
And I have more that I'm probably going to put up on eBay because I got a bunch of loose figures.
You got loose figures?
Yeah. That I'm gonna put up. And also, you know, I got a couple of Ninja Turtle figures. Look off your face. I got some Ninja Turtle figures that I actually have coming in that I won off auctions off the app Whatnot. So that I'll be putting up, you know, as soon as I get them. But yeah, like the toys were always pretty fun to play with. I don't know if I necessarily still have like the original toys.
Yeah.
Although a couple of them might actually be home in your toy bin somewhere. Because I know I had like quite a few of them.
Yeah, you had a few, like four or five.
Now, do you guys play the video game?
Yes. The Konami games for the PlayStation 2, I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I remember playing one of them with you.
I think we played the third one a lot.
Yeah. Obviously, like, I remember the original Nintendo games. Well, I had one of them.
Oh, yeah.
The arcade games were really good, too.
Yeah.
Turtles in Time is actually the worst movie, but it's the best arcade game.
Yeah, the third movie, obviously, where they went to Japan, which actually Turtles in Time is actually, they did a special. I don't know if it was actually a special or if they turned that into like a new like cartoon show where they actually travel back in time to like their 1988 version selves.
Really?
Yeah. But no, Turtles in... The thing about that third movie is that, like, Shredder really was a good villain.
Yeah.
Okay? And you don't have him there anymore. So, like, you really need to come up with a perfect foil. And, you know, a good foil for them because he's no longer there. And instead of, like, introducing, like, a new villain like Baxter Stockman or, like, the Rat King... or something like that, you take them back in Japan and they're fighting all these, you know, Japanese, they're basically fighting the Japanese mafia.
Yeah.
And it just, it didn't work. And like in that movie, Donatello was the only one that really wanted to get back to like modern times. Well, that and April was being such a bitch about it. Michelangelo had fallen in love with this Japanese woman who actually, like, her husband was actually, because, like, the premise of the movie was April had bought this ancient Japanese sword at a flea market.
Okay.
And it was like cursed. So the sword got activated. She switched places with a Japanese warrior who got I think like the curse was placed like by him or whatever. So right. They switched places. So he came to modern times and April got transported back to Japan. So now the other turtles have to go back and get her. And Casey Jones comes back thinking, all right, we're going to go bust some heads. And Leonardo informs him, oh, no, you're not going with us. You're staying here and helping Master Splinter watch over all the Japanese guys that are going to come back in our place. And Casey's like, huh? Eh? Like, I have to be a babysitter?
Yeah.
And, like, it's funny. He actually takes them to the, it was either an arcade or a roller rink. And they're actually dancing to the band Baltimore's song, Tarzan Boy, which actually happens to be used as a theme song in AEW by some fellow by the name of Jungle Boy.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. Great future.
Great guy.
Yeah. So then the turtles, you know, they go to Japan and Michelangelo kind of falls in love with the wife of the guy who switched places with April.
Right.
And Raphael kind of befriends the little, the woman's, you know, 10-year-old son.
Aww.
And Donatello is trying to find a way to, you know, get everybody back home. Leonardo's actually like just, like Leonardo, you know, is with Donatello. He's like, you know what? Or with Donatello and April, and it's, you know, yeah, we want to get home. But like towards the end of the movie, Michelangelo had said, you know what? I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
And Raphael had kind of agreed with him. And Leonardo had kind of agreed with him. April, you know, throwing, you know, the bitch fit, said, no, we're going back. You're brothers. Like, you cannot split up. And Donatello's just like, I need microchips back in my life. You know, there's nothing here. Like, I am a science guy. I need computers. I need microchips. Shut the fuck up, Corey Feldman. That's who actually voiced Donatello in that movie. And then Leonardo kind of changed his mind because he's the leader and he's actually supposed to lead these guys.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? Yeah, we have to go back. And Raphael's like, you know, I understand. You know, we should. Michelangelo's like, fuck you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or he didn't actually say that, but he's like, no, I'm staying here, whether you want me to or not. And then, you know, April's trying to, you know, say like, no, Michelangelo, you're coming back. And at that point, I would have just thrown her out of the fucking window of the castle they were in. But then, you know, the woman that he was falling in love with, he told her, he's like, oh, no, I'm going back. I'm staying here with you. And she's like, no, once you guys go back, like, I need my husband to come back.
Yeah.
So, like, you guys have to go. And then what's funny, too, is that, like, the turtles, like, when everybody kind of, like, switched places or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the turtles, they showed up in, like, the Shogun Japanese, like, war armor.
Yes.
Now, the Japanese warriors that took their place, because the turtles technically don't wear clothes, obviously.
Right.
So they all showed up naked. So that was one of the things Casey Jones actually had to be put in charge of, was getting clothes on these guys. So... like, when they came back, like, because at first, like, when they all got returned, Michelangelo wasn't with them right away. But then he finally came back, and, you know, he was depressed, obviously. He had to leave, you know, this woman he fell in love with. Which is really weird seeing Michelangelo be the one fall in love with somebody.
Yeah.
Because he's such a goof-off and all that.
Yeah, he's the idiot.
Yeah. But, because you would think, okay... you know, if anybody was going to fall in love, it would more than likely, it would either be, you know, Raphael or Leonardo, because
yeah.
He's the leader. But like in that third movie, Leonardo really didn't do much leading.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it, like, the leader of the Turtles technically would have been considered April because she was trying to castrate him as much as she possibly could.
You weren't a fan of her.
Though. Oh, my God. I was such not a fan of hers in that movie that where, like, I actually completely turned on the actress whatsoever. Like, you know that show you guys used to watch, the 100?
Yes.
You know she's in that, right?
Yes.
So she's in the movie, or she's in that show. Like, I became, like, I turned on the actress so much that, like, I remember actually watching episodes with you guys hoping that her character would get killed off. Because it's just, like, when I see somebody in a role that, like, and they just turn me off so much, like, I turn against them in future roles, even if they're supposed to be the, you know, protagonist or the good guy or whatever. It's like, nah, they sucked in this movie, so kill them off in this one. Paige Turco was the name of the actress that took over. Judith Hogue was the actress in the first movie. I don't know why she didn't get recast as April in the second one, because I actually thought she did a good job. And watching her kind of fall in love with Casey in that first movie, which that was another one, you know, that first movie is very underrated. Not a lot of people talk about it. Like, I really don't talk about it that much. But she, like, in that first movie, especially the dichotomy where, you know, she's with Casey and, like, she really wants to hate him. He just wants to plop her in the bedroom. And you have the Turtles just, you know, making fun of the both of them. And at one point, like, at the end of the movie where they're starting to kiss, you hear the Turtles up on the roof after, you know, Shredder, or after Splinter knocks Shredder in a garbage truck. You see the Turtles up there going, "All right, April!" And then Michelangelo goes, "All right, Casey!" Like, they're cheering him on. They're like, "Yeah, put your tongue down that throat." And thank you, Misty. But no, it was just, you know, an interesting dichotomy, which obviously they would revisit, obviously, in the later cartoon, in the later movies, you know, April and Casey would kind of, you know, find their way together.
Yeah.
But what's also interesting in the, and obviously also in the second cartoon, which would be the 2003 to 2010 one, because April and Casey in that cartoon actually got married.
Yeah.
And then when it became fast forward, you know, the Turtles went 100 years into the future, and they're helping April and Casey's grandkids. And, like, in the later cartoon that was picked up by Nickelodeon in 2012, you know, April and Casey, they kind of continue their relationship, but they're both kids.
Yeah.
You know, and they're teenagers, and Donatello was obsessed. He was in love with April. But April, you know, obviously she's not going to fall in love with the turtle.
Yeah.
And she liked Casey. And Casey and Raphael, who had always kind of had that relationship of, you know, they like to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
But, like, in the cartoon, like, they were actually, like, in the later cartoon, in the 2012 cartoon, they were the best of friends. I mean, because, you know, Raphael still wanted to punch him sometimes, but they were the best of friends. But, which is, again, you know, very different from the original adaptation of, you know, the older cartoons and the first movie where, like, all they wanted to do was beat the shit out of each other.
Now, as we're getting towards the end here, there's one man you haven't talked about much. You talked about a lot of the characters. Give us a little bit about Master Splinter, the wise rat.
He is their mentor. He is their teacher.
Yes.
Hamato Yoshi
Yeah.
You know, in the cartoons, he obviously he's the one that taught the turtles, you know, the martial arts, and you know also tries to teach them discipline, which a lot of times they forget. One episode in the cartoon was, you know, he wanted them to train.
Yeah.
And they wanted to relax. So he beat the crap out of them. And then, like, at one point, they actually snuck off and they turned off all their communications, their turtle comms.
Yeah.
And April was trying to get a hold of them because there was, like, a robbery or something taking place. So they're just like, so April's trying to get a hold of them. Splinter's like, all right, I'll come down because I have no idea where the hell they are. Well, I mean, he obviously didn't swear because it's a cartoon. But so he goes to, you know, try to take care of things, and he gets zapped with some weapon, and, you know, they don't know if he's going to make it or not. Well, Leonardo, obviously being the leader, is just like, you know, maybe we should answer our turtle comms. And they're like, no, you know, the movie's starting or whatever. Finally, they figure out what's going on. They realize, oh, crap, we really screwed up. And, no, obviously they make things right. But, no, Splinter was kind of like, Splinter always tried to teach them discipline. You know, in every adaptation. And he was a very wise rat. You know, he also helped, you know, in the original movie, there was a boy by the name of Danny who his father was April's boss. And he ran away from home because he was trying to join the Foot Clan. And when Splinter had been abducted, because in the first movie, like, the main storyline was Oroku Saki, who was Shredder, and his gang actually broke into the Turtles' lair and abducted Splinter, and they had him chained up at their headquarters.
Right.
And so Danny would actually go visit Splinter. And then, you know, Casey Jones kind of got involved and went to Danny and said, and he's like, all right, who are you? Like, what's going on here? And he goes, they're going to kill him. And Casey Jones is just like, kill who? And Danny introduces him to Splinter. So, you know, Danny, this kid who was a very troubled, misguided youth, you know, Splinter kind of, you know, put him back on the right track. And, like, and then, you know, him and Casey kind of, you know, they rescued Splinter, and Splinter looks at Casey Jones and goes, who are you? I'm kind of a friend of the Turtles. He goes, don't worry, you can trust me. And so, like, I've always kind of enjoyed the Casey Jones character.
Yeah.
And the Splinter character, like, and Splinter and Casey having to babysit all those Japanese guys in the third movie, which drove Casey nuts.
Now, based on the characters, all four turtles, Splinter, Casey Jones, and April O'Neil, rank them.
Rank, just those characters?
Yeah, likability.
Okay. Throughout all aspects of everything.
Yes.
Okay. I would say, you want me to go top to bottom or bottom to top?
Bottom to top.
Okay. At the bottom, I would actually put, I could never really get behind Donatello.
Yeah.
All right. Because he's smart and smart's not my forte. So I would put Donatello at the bottom. I would put April kind of right there, because even though, like, I was a fan of her and, like, all the different cartoon versions,
yeah,
the third movie just kind of ruined the character for me. So I would put April, and then above that I would put Splinter.
Yeah.
Then I would put Leonardo, because I didn't mind him in the original cartoons, in the reboot cartoon in 2003, or in the original movies, but, you know, they really took a bad turn with him.
Seth Green fucked him up that bad.
Yeah. And then whoever played him in the reboots, in the reboot movies. So then I would put him. I would put Casey then after.
Right.
Because Casey Jones is just badass. which, by the way, in the original cartoon, he never took the hockey mask off.
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, he took the hockey mask off in every other version.
Yeah.
But in the original cartoon, which, by the way, that original figure, like, if you try to buy it, like, especially mint on card,
yeah,
you have to spend about $200 to $300 for it.
Isn't the Shredder really expensive, too?
The Super Shredder, which I have loose. Erica sent me earlier a list of turtle toys that are very expensive. And the Super Shredder, like, mint on card, you could probably get a lot of money. And it's actually going to go on eBay very soon.
Yeah.
Because I do have it, and I've already got the press photos taken for it.
Yeah.
I just have to put it up, but it's going to be loose. But I still think we can actually get something for it. Mainly because I actually, like, paid only, like, $3 for it.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I can turn that into something. But yeah. We'll see. But, yeah, and then after, like, Casey, I would put Raphael, and then I would put Michelangelo, because without Michelangelo's, like, hijinks.
Yeah.
Like, especially the obsession with the – I do have to mention this. The obsession with the pizza and the different kinds of pizza that they say they would have in the cartoons.
Yeah.
Like, I remember back in, I think it was 2011, me and my old crew at the time, back when I liked having friends.
Yeah.
We did a create your own pizza party.
I remember that.
And it's just like, okay, we're going to have, like, different toppings or whatever. And my one buddy wanted to create, like, all the different toppings that they would do on the Ninja Turtle cartoon. But I remember somebody else pointing out, they're like, do you really want to put, like, peanut butter and fluff on a pizza? Like, they would say, like, there would be, like, all these different flavors, like peanut butter and mushroom and all that stuff, which, you know, in a cartoon, like, you really can't tell what it looks like because it just looks like regular pizza.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember, like, us, like, kind of taking the inspiration from that, but we actually made pizza that was, you know, edible. And, of course, a couple of my buddies almost burned down my house. trying to make a Hawaiian pizza. But,
you guys made some fucked up shit that night.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Good times, though.
Yeah.
But, like, just, like, the stuff they would come up with, like, I think at one point there was, like, a jelly bean and sausage pizza that Michelangelo said, like, in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Now, we never tried that.
Thank God.
But, like, just some of the stuff that would come up with, like, as a kid, you're thinking about it, and it's just like, you know, you really you really pay no attention to it. But as an adult, you go back and watch it, and you're like, did anybody ever try that shit?
Yeah.
I mean, I never did.
Right.
Because, you know, I like stuff that's edible. Because I really think, like, that stuff just, like, again, in a cartoon, like, they really don't show you how disgusting it is. Because looks like regular pizza.
And they're turtles, so I'm sure their palates are a little different from you and I.
Well, yeah. But no, like, that's another thing that really kind of added, because a different dimension, obviously, to the characters. Because this is, like, who would have ever thought turtles would like pizza?
Yeah.
Now, the other characters in the show got sick of it. I remember, like, in that second movie in Secret of the Ooze, they brought dinner because they actually, like, after they helped Kino, the pizza delivery boy, stop a robbery, they actually, well, they didn't technically steal the pizza from him because he had pizza that they ordered. But so they took the pizza, they left the tip, and they're like, we brought dinner. And April's like, pizza again. Now, you talk about somebody that gets sick of pizza. You know, because at that time, they were living with her. So, or them and Splinter. And so, like, you know, having to have pizza for dinner every night, which, you know, I'm sure people would get sick of.
Yeah. I mean, we would love it, but most people would get sick of it.
I think we would love it if we switched pizza places every couple of days.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like, if I could do, like, you know, 30 straight days of Papa John's.
No. So you throw a little Frank's in there, throw a little Pizza Hut.
Frank's, a Pizza Hut.
Giuseppe's.
And then, like, maybe if, like, you're...
Domino's was the one in the movie, right? Was it a Domino's delivery driver?
Yeah. Domino's was actually... well, in the first movie. In the second movie, they realized they actually couldn't use Domino's because it's an actual brand name.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure they got the licensing deal for the first one, probably.
For the first one, yeah, but for the second one. Because remember, the first and second movies were only a year apart.
Yeah.
Because I remember actually in 1991, when the second movie came out, there were two movies I was looking forward to coming out that summer.
That.
Secret of the Ooze,
yeah.
And Suburban Commando with Hulk Hogan.
How was that?
Suburban Commando was cool looking, but...
Shitty movie.
It was just god awful. Like, I think I kind of remember, because I remember seeing that second movie in the theater with Mom.
Yeah.
Because Mom took me. Wait. Did Mom take me or did you?
She doesn't remember.
I don't remember.
But,
I do remember seeing a Hulk Hogan movie somewhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we rented that. I know we didn't, because like I actually had my choice of which movie I wanted to see in the theater, and I picked, believe it or not, I picked the Turtles over wrestling at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, which was... I know, you know, unheard of.
Yeah.
But, you know, I ended up seeing Suburban Commando. We actually rented the movie, which, you know, really wasn't that good. So I'm glad I picked the Turtles movie to see in the theater. But yeah, like 1991, you know, when those two movies came out, there wasn't a lot of, you know, there wasn't really a lot of time in between the movies because usually, like, you know, when a movie comes out, you usually wait a couple of years before you get the sequel.
Yeah.
But, like, with this movie, obviously, because, you know, they wanted to strike while the iron is hot because the cartoon was on such a roll that, like, it's just like, okay, they're hot. The figures are hot. The video games are hot. You know, we got to keep it rolling until all the wheels fall off. The original cartoon lasted 10 seasons.
Yeah, big run.
So, like, I mean, it demeaned in quality by, like, season 8.
Yeah.
Because the theme song, which Eric obviously played at the beginning of our episode here, they actually switched to a different theme song in season 8. Or season 8 or season 9.
It all went downhill from there?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, Dutch, you got some final thoughts? You got to live out your childhood love. Talk about some Ninja Turtles. We got to go pick Eric up so we can get a seat at the pub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big UFC fight tonight.
We want to get there before the kitchen's closed.
Yeah, exactly. So, Eric, get out of your nightgown and get your proper dress clothes on.
I'm ready already.
But
final thoughts on the Turtles.
Yeah. See, I made Karen crack up, so my night's made. So.
That was actually a good one.
Thank you. See, now that I got like her approval on a joke, like my life is set here, because usually she's just looking at me like, you just suck.
Yeah, I mean, you usually do.
Yeah.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts on the Turtles. One of the all-time great cartoon franchises, because they have the longevity, and one of the most collectible cartoon franchises.
Yeah.
Because you go on there, for anybody that has a smartphone, which now that I finally got one, should be everybody in the world except for my father, there is a app called Whatnot. And all the time, like, it's, and they sell, like, different, like, things, including action figures. And there's people that run Ninja Turtle auctions, Ninja Turtle toy auctions, almost every day. And they start, obviously, and they make these figures, even loose, make good money.
Yeah.
It is very hard to try to get a Ninja Turtle figure loose or even carded for a cheap price. I've tried.
Yeah.
And it really hasn't worked. But, no, it's one of the most successful cartoon franchises of all time. And, like, the fact that, like, the stuff is still collectible and it's worth a lot of money, like, it just goes to show, like, because, again, it was a big part of my childhood.
Yeah.
It's actually a big part of a lot of people's childhoods. Like, if Clint were on the show with us, he'd talk about how big it was for his childhood. You know, that's one of the main things that Clint and I usually bond over, you know, besides the steam room. But, like, it's just, it's one of those things that, like, I could go back and I could watch the movies, I could watch, you know, some of the episodes of the cartoon, and I could still enjoy it. Because to me, they age, like, it's almost like fine wine. Like, it, you know, they just get better. Like, I can still enjoy it. Like, yeah. Some cartoons, I go back, I watch it, and it's just like, was I really that stupid when I was a kid? Why did I like this shit? But with the Turtles, it's just like, you know, this stuff is still really cool.
Absolutely. All right. That was our Turtles retrospective. Good time. Eric, you and me added a lot.
Yep.
We will see you soon, and we'll see everybody next week on Everything Unlimited for Justice League Throne of Atlantis, the next in our series of DC animated movies. So we're going to get into that. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see everybody next time.
All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye. I know.